know thy crew and then know thyself. So like how can you help and push people to get to where you need to get them, but then also like what's realistic for them to get from location A to location B or loading dock to location A. And so you have to have that relationship and talk to your keys and go, okay, I want to be up and running by 9 a.m. What time do y'all need to be there to make that happen? Now that you've seen the room, we've all seen the tiny elevator and loading dock. What's our solution program here to be up and running by 9 a.m., right? Welcome back to another episode of the Rough Cut Club. I am your host, Joey Nicotra, here today with the lovely, the one, the only, the incredible, the talented, the wise, Mr. Shane Reitzamer. Shane, what is up, my brother? How are you?
Man, I'm just over here enjoying that sexy radio voice you had going on today.
I know, I kind of tapped into you are now joining us for the late night special. We got love in the club here right now. That sound like a radio station you'd get down to back in the day?
All the time.
Yeah. Hey, I got a face for radio. What can I say?
Soft jazz playing and that's glass of wine.
Well, that's awesome, man. Today, man, I am super pumped for our episode. You know, a lot of people, this isn't the sexiest topic to jump into, but I think it's a super, super important one. And it's how to location scout properly, man. It is a big belief of mine that films are made in pre-production and post-production are normally some of the smaller, I don't want to say post-production. Post-production is a large piece, but they are smaller than the pre-production process of filmmaking, undoubtedly. And when you can get into doing a location scout properly, you can save yourself a lot of headache on set, and you can really, really set the film up for success. So I think it's a super important topic to jump into, and just so people can hear some takeaways on how we do it properly.
Yep. And after you do a good location scout and all your pre-pro, you put together an awesome call sheet. And I got to call this shirt out because my boy over here got me this shirt, I think as a kind of a fun gag gift for Christmas. And I actually love it because I don't know how many times I've had to say this, you know, to our newer filmmakers or interns, or sometimes even Joey, the man himself.
Sometimes even Joey doesn't read what's on the call sheet. That's not true. I always read the call sheet, and I'm perfect in every way. So
Hey, so we sleep. since the call sheet. You know, so
as long as you don't show up to the wrong address, you'll be all right.
I think I've done that before.
I did it last week, but it was because the client did not confirm that we were going to a separate address to start out, and so it happened to me 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
guilty. Yeah. Anyway, man,
it's on the client.
Yeah, it's on the client. Jumping into, you know, just the benefits of a location scout. You know, there's a lot of problems that arise on the day that can be overcome by properly doing a location scout. And so there's nothing like getting on set and being like, well, I planned and planned and planned, but I've never been here before, so I didn't know that this was going to happen. Had I just taken the time to show up and do a tech scout, I would have known and I would have been prepared and I would have brought this, or I would have shot at a different time of day, or, you know, I could have avoided the problem had I taken the time to do a location scout. And, you know, one of the other big benefits that I think is from a DP and director standpoint, you really get the opportunity to get married to a specific vision when the director and the DP take the time to go out and do a location scout together. You know, part of the success of a DP is bringing the director's vision to life. And a lot of times I have found that that vision really comes to life on the tech scout once they actually get to see the location, how the actors can move within a space. The director gets to find out the challenges that I'm up against, and we get to talk through those before there's any other people around us. And so I found that like a lot of the problems, even just on the DP director relationship, get overcome by properly doing a location scout.
Yeah, and I think two things I'd like to add here too, because I feel like we have to at locations or tech scout changes depending on what type of project it is, right? So for example, we've been doing a corporate documentary, and we've been doing tech scout or location scouts on those.
I guess we should clarify too, because those are two different things. And I would say that we're kind of combining, you know, doing a tech scout on location when I say a location scout, and not necessarily how to look for a location.
Yeah, that's good clarity. But it, they there are crossover
there
things. Definitely, yeah, between, okay, being a location coordinator or finding locations. Yeah, that's not this episode.
Right.
This one is, well, it kind of is in the documentary space, I guess. So right. We'll cover some of that. But the tech stuff still crosses over in the documentary or corporate space or commercial space. So I think that's what value people can take away, both on the narrative space, but on the commercial and corporate space.
Yeah.
And I think the level of involvement in the tech or the location scout increases when you're doing a narrative, and there's a little bit less to do on documentary between a director and a DP.
Mm-hmm.
But we can unpack that as we kind of talk maybe through like a couple of case scenarios of what we've done on location and tech scouts. One question for you, though.
Yeah.
As a DP, because this will actually help producers and directors too. Sometimes I go, he doesn't need a tech scout for this, or there's no budget for it, and I don't feel like I should ask him to do this tech or location scout. We'll have the client take pictures, we'll show up on the day, we'll figure it out. Where's your sweet spot of like what's expected of you, and if it would require a or benefit a location or tech scout, or is it like the answer is always a tech scout would be better, you know, if the budget could, you know, be there for it. So like what kind of projects would you say, obviously in the narrative space, yeah, tech scout every day, all day, but the, on the corporate commercial talking head, you know, those types of things, where would you say you are on that? What's the perfect balance?
It's a good question. And you know, the answer is yes. A location tech scout is always going to help set you up for success more. But here's an indicator that I think really makes a big difference, and it's how long you're going to be in one location. So if I'm going to be shooting in one room the entire day, then it's going to be really important for me to know what the sun is doing over the course of a day, what the noise level is going to be in the room over the course of the day, how shadows move, how, you know, everything is happening over the course of a day. If I got to go somewhere and I have, you know, one like B-roll insert to capture, and it's part of a faster moving piece, then a lot of times the tech scout is something that is less critical because I just need to make the pieces work for a moment. If I'm going to be somewhere for an extended amount of time, I think that plays a role in it. You know, again, the perfect answer is to always, you know, scout everything at the time of day you're going to be shooting. But it's also not always realistic. Sometimes you get put on a project and you're on set the day that the location tech scout is going to happen and you don't have a chance to. And so that's where it'll be like, okay, we'll take a 360 degree video of the room, take photos of all the angles, show me all the options. And then I can typically help weigh out, you know, the composition, the lighting and all that stuff as well. I also believe that, you know, when budget isn't allotted for a location scout, you have to ask yourself, you know, what your commitment to the project is. And so there have been projects that there hasn't been budget for a location scout, but I have believed in the project so much or wanted to see the success of the project bad enough to where I was willing to volunteer my time to go do that to ensure that this would be as successful for the client, that this could be a portfolio piece for me, and that I could just do this project with excellence. But we also all know that there are projects that it's like it's moving too fast or it's too turn and burn to do that on every single project. But I always try to, you know, make sure that I can set myself up for success on the day, especially when like a crew is involved for it. Because sometimes we find out that the location won't even work at all because of the location scout, and we have to pivot to something else nearby or just something different altogether. And so, again, it's going back to, you know, if you're willing to see the project succeed, sometimes the location tech scout is the make or break answer.
Yeah, that's great. No, I echo you. Like, ideal world is there's a location and tech scout. There's also a prep day, yep. and then there's the production day. That's like the perfect world, right? Then you know, for me as either like a producer director, you know, working with an AD or building my own schedule out, then I can go, okay, like I have all this time to focus on the art and the creative, right. instead of like, we're going to get there. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure out Sunseeker. Now we got to solve problems. Now we got to go, oh, there's this noise that we have to kill. Now we can set up. Now we can shoot this yep. scene. Oh, we ran into another issue, right? So like, yeah, ideal world, I'm with you. But to your point too, some of those quicker insert things, it does, you know, it doesn't apply to everything for sure. Let me pitch this up first too. You said something that I think gives a lot of people value, and we've been honing this, like how we do this too. When the budget doesn't allow for it and you aren't able to go to set, what are some things you want as a DP? And I'll give some like director questions yeah. that I have, or producer questions.
Yeah.
But as a DP, what would you want somebody to, like a client or somebody in your place, to like capture and send yep. to you?
So, great question. The, you know, a 360 degree video of the room, super helpful. It's going to allow me to see and shoot with a wide angle, so I can see the ceiling, I can see the floor, I can see an entire panorama of what I have to work with. Not only that, but it shows me what available props are in the location as well. So if we're shooting in a building, I may want photos and videos of all of the props that are in the room, because the chair that whoever's going to sit in is important. And I don't want it to be some super wide chair. I want it to be a low profile chair. And it's like, okay, well, if that's not in the building, then I know that we need to bring it. And so capturing all of the props is super important. 360 degree video of the room is super important. A lot of clients do not have, I mean, almost zero have this, but knowing what the sun is going to do, there's an app, if you're not familiar, called Sunseeker, which is super critical for DPs to do a tech scout properly and just being on set. And it basically tells you where the sun is going to be at what time of day. And if they can't do this, then you try to ask them what direction the building or the window there is facing. And so if you know that this window is on the east side, then you know that in the morning you're going to have sun coming right in your window, and you can, you know, work around that. And so if you can't get a Sunseeker, you know, recorded video, ask what direction this part of the building is facing in. So that way you know, you know, what the sun is going to do more or less.
Dude, I just learned a little something here that I could start passing to clients when we ask them that. You know, there's the compass
app. Yeah. It's just,
we should have
them
like, all right, face north, then go to camera wide angle. Like, I need to make like a little tutorial video, because yeah. that actually would be really helpful to be like, all right, this is true north. Now I'm turning to the right. And right. now you have your 360. There's in the center of the room. I'll clarify yeah. that, so that way you can see all the way around. That's a great idea. I need to package that yeah. and send that to clients, because we have clients that will do that for us when they don't want to pay for a tech scout, or maybe it's a rush project and it's like, hey, we need to show up tomorrow, shoot this leadership, you know, CEO person in this thing, breaking press thing that's coming out. Cool. Go to the room that you think we're gonna shoot in.
Right.
Send us the video. Send us options. So like on the director producer side. And I'm sure this is what you would prefer too. Send us options. Because sometimes the client's like, oh, yeah, I got a room. And we're talking like talking head, you know,
right.
like corporate interview, testimonial, that kind of stuff. I got a room. It's perfect. And you get there. If you don't do this, you don't do the virtual tech scout asking them for that. You get there, it's a 10 by 10 office room that has like books
white
and everything. And they're like,
yeah.
oh, we really like this painting. We were just going to film them up against the painting. Up against the wall? You want to film them up yeah. against the wall? You don't want that. So I like saying, hey, can you send us like 3 or 4 locations? We want bigger the space, the better. Think like grand lobby. Like if you're doing medical, like think like grand lobbies. Think of, you know, big open areas. Even better, do you have a wing or a floor that's like closed,
yeah.
but is in good working order? That's nice. So I'm also telling them, think about the noise, right? Like, we'd love to shoot in your lobby. It's probably really pretty, but what about the people in the background that are crossing through? Like, do we need to get, you know, release forms for all of them? It's a hospital. That's probably not going to work. We got elevator noises. Can we do a lockdown on that lobby for a certain period of time? So All these kind of questions are great to pitch up to your client, not only for a DP, but on a producing side as well. And then what I'd add too, always I'm asking these pre-pro questions that we would ask on a tech scout, which we'll get to probably getting ahead, but it's like, okay, where do we park? Where do we load in? Where's base camp, right? Where can we stash the gear after it comes out of boxes and crates and it's all built up? How far is that from the filming location? And then also the distance between filming locations. So a lot of these interviews, B-roll things, we kind of map it all out on a building, on the parking lot, and go, all right, now we can estimate how long will it take us to move from this location to this location. Oh, there's we're doing this corporate thing, and it's like, you know, these corporate elevators, and it takes a while to go up and back down, and you can only fit so many carts, and the loading dock is a slower process. And so, you know, sometimes you live and you learn on set, but as much as that as you encounter ahead of time, you can set yourself up for success. So hopefully those little virtual tips help before we get into the meat of doing a full-fledged location tech scout.
Yep.
But for those that are, I mean, we didn't have the luxury of doing tech and location scouts. You know, this is more of a, as we have leveled up our projects and our pitch decks and our proposals, now it's kind of just more of a requirement. We like to make a request in our deck that this is how we bring the value, because we're going to be prepared and make the most of our time on set too. That's the biggest thing. That's how you sell location and tech scouts. When you charge for them, you go, look, you can pay for a couple of key people to come and do this scout at this rate that's minimal or nominal, compared to, do you want to just wing it and have your $10,000 or $20,000 day of production team there that were solving some issues that could have been done and solved for a eighth of that price, right? Or 10th of that price on a scout.
You brought up a good point. In your opinion, who all should go on a tech location scout?
Ideal world, all my keys. So, and again, this changes for features. Because if you're talking features, you're talking director, G&E, so like gaffer, key grip even being there for grip department. You would have director, producer. I like having like...
Even audio.
Audio, absolutely. Audio, and then art department.
Yep.
If stunts are there, they 100% need to be there. And bro, even sometimes having crafty and medical there as well. And even kind of like a... Obviously the AD too, because then you're going, well, this is holding for... talent, this is background holding, this is where we'll put up crafty. And so everybody gets to unpack their little questions and like, well, okay, DP, like which way is the camera pointing? Well, director, like what do we want the scene to look like? Okay, well, over here, well, we can't put the medic in the crafty tent over here, we got to put it over this side because there's no way you're going to look over here, right? And you know, so it's like all those conversations is a really interesting dynamic. And to do a good location scout, you have to have a great AD to run the location scout. When you have a big team like that, in my opinion, maybe people run them differently, but I've seen great ADs go around and go, okay, and they kind of break it down through the hierarchy, right? So it's like, all right, director, DP, talk through your scene. What's happening? This is what happened. DP, break it down. You keep going down until you get, okay, now crafty, you get to talk, right? And they're like, okay, cool. Can I put the tent over there? And everybody's like, yes. And DP's like, no, that's totally going to, you know what I mean? So you kind of start with your priority order. Let's go to corporate world. Did I forget anybody though on a narrative?
No, the biggest thing is all keys, like producer, director, AD, like, you're pretty solid.
And then I would say on corporate, you can scale that way down.
100%.
Right? So, again, ideal world, all keys. So if you did have art department for a commercial or something, they definitely need to be there, like 100%. Yep. But like talking head corporate stuff, I at least minimum, I like having the director, the DP, and lighting department key, whoever that is, whether it's a gaffer or key or swing or grip, utility, whatever it is. Those three people are the paramount for that. And you might swap out, maybe you're calling the director or producer instead. You know, it's just a producer because, you know, an agency's there asking questions, right? But you kind of have somebody like as the liaison vision setter. You have the DP talking through the shots. And then the DP and the lighting person are the critical pieces on that.
Yeah.
They go, oh, yeah, this is realistic. It's doable. It's not doable,
Right.
Right.
Along with the director being able to like sign off on a location and everything too. And what talent needs to be doing within a scene. You know, I, to your point, the director, the DP and the key lighting department, having those people in place solves the majority of the problems that you will create on the day. And a good director and DP will be considering all of the other departments and their needs as well, so they can plan in advance for where base camp's going to be, you know, where this person needs to go, and so on and so forth. And so
is there a Coke machine that is gonna, we just were scouting a location.
Gosh, this happens all
and
the
we're
time.
Like, we talk through the whole location and then we look right when we were leaving, the Coke machine kicked on.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, we can just unplug that, right? Well, we gotta get permissions for it. Can we get permissions to do that? Or do we need to change? It's a Coke machine. Can we just unplug it? You know? And so there's little things that you need to be aware of. And that was for audio, right? Like that would have bombed audio. And like, how do we work around that?
Yeah.
And so when you as a DP are doing a location scout, can we start unpacking this?
Let's run it.
What are the things you're looking at in a scenario? Let's start with a corporate interview. Like, what are you looking at when a director says, this is where I want to do it? I'm thinking, you know, so you and I work sometimes, I go, this is the angle I think I want. And sometimes mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, maybe it's over here. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is the angle I want now. You know what I mean? And so it's good. We have that collaboration together. There's other times where I'm like, I have to have this. I want this because this is pivotal to my story.
Right.
If we're doing a talking head thing. And then let's say, now what do you start unpacking after that moment?
So I think there's a couple of categories, right? There's, you know, the first thing that I'm going to be looking at when I look at a location is what the sun is doing in that. So I got to look at how the light is affecting my scene. And there is the app Sunseeker, which I rely on to know what time of day it's going to be where. And then I know what angle, you know, I want the sun for whatever scene to, you know, help make my day as easy as possible. And so knowing what the sun is going to be doing, I also got to look at available power, right? So if I want to bring in extra lights, is there power in this vicinity? If it's outside, we're going to need to bring a generator, and we're going to need to bring blankets to cover that generator, so that way we can dampen the sound, and for long stingers so we can run it super far away. And if it's indoors, like, do the outlets even work? And so a lot of times I'll actually bring like a phone charger in with me, so that I can plug my phone in, see that my phone is working, and know that I have power to charge or to light anything from the plugs and outlets that are there. Cause I've gone before and plugged stuff in and it's like, well, there may have been an outlet there, but it wasn't even working.
That's a hot tip right there.
Yeah.
Remember that. Cause that's a hot tip of experience where you probably learned the hard, and I've done it too, where you're like, oh, I saw outlets, and we just scouted something recently and we're like, oh, there's tons of outlets, and we tested all of them. They were all dead.
All of them.
It was kind of in a construction type area where they had killed a whole wall or two. So, man, that's a hot one. Write that one down.
100%. Man, there's actually, even before like all of the questions to ask when I go to a location scout and what I'm looking for, I think it starts at what you even bring to the location scout.
That's true. Unpack that.
And so there, one great thing, you always want to have a way to measure while you're in your location. And so whether that is a tape measure, or if you want like the item free, if you will, way on the phone, you have a measuring app where you can go and tap a point, move the screen, tap another point, and it'll give you a very very accurate or close enough, for me in most case scenarios, to know like how much space I have within a room, how tall a ceiling is, how big the windows are going to be. And so I always have a way to measure what is with me.
I wonder if that's just exclusively Apple. We have to clarify, because I know that app you're talking about. I love it, man. It's so, dude, house projects get way easier. I'm like, oh, I forgot the measuring tape. Cool, let me pull up the phone. And you can snap photos too, which is cool, because then you go, oh, that window is an 8x8 and we need a 10 by 10, yeah, rag to cover this, whatever.
I'm not familiar with Android, but I know that they are typically ahead of Apple when it comes to products. The user experience is better with Apple products, but Android typically has that product 2 years before Apple does.
So there's probably a measuring app.
There's probably a measuring app, but
bring
I'm not
something
familiar
to measure.
With
that. Yeah.
The other thing that I like to bring with me is a camera. And so if possible, worst case scenario, you got an iPhone to take pictures of everything and videos and whatnot. But if possible, I like to bring a smaller mirrorless camera so that I can actually get a feel, like a cinematic feel for what an image is going to look like. And so I'll shoot photos on a mirrorless camera of my environment. Cause it just, when I'm able to see the bokeh of a scene and how it all really plays out, I feel like I go in more prepared knowing what I want rather than just seeing an iPhone photo.
Would you suggest taking the camera that you're actually going to shoot on? Or so if you're I'm going to shoot this on Red, I'm going to do a full frame format.
Yeah.
And I'm using these, that's probably the ideal world, right? I'm using Cook Anamorphics and I want to see exactly how this is going to look, right?
I think, there is something ideal about it, but most of the time it's not actually practical to carry around a fully built cinema camera. And most of the time you're renting cinema lenses and you may not have them the day you do your scout. And so a lot of times that's not practical, but I have found that if I have at least a mirrorless or a DSLR camera, that's going to give me a better feel for an image versus an iPhone image. But at the end of the day, an iPhone image is still, it's good enough. But I just feel more connected to the image that I'm prepared to deliver when I've gotten some DSLR or mirrorless snapshots in advance.
Yeah, it's good.
There's also, if you don't have your camera, there's an app. There's a couple of apps. There's a free one called Magic Arri Viewfinder. And I think CadRage or something like that. And I think that's an app that you pay for, but it basically, it gives you what your world looks like at different focal lengths, and even different camera profiles.
Yep. Mine is called CinemaScope. And I love it. And you swap through, this is the Red Gemini with a 35. And actually, you pick your lenses out. The one I have is buggy. I don't know. Yeah. So hopefully I didn't even say the name right so people don't download and blame me for that one. But I'll have to check these other ones out. But from a director's standpoint, too, I love that. Because a lot of times there's the lens conversation.
Right.
On a bigger narrative. Absolutely. This is crossing over to narrative, too. And it's When you're asking me, so you're thinking of 50 or 35, what are you trying to portray in there?
Right.
How intimate are we going? Or what do we need to, what's your character look like? So we get their face shape, in the most flattering way. And having that, it's not perfect, but it kind of gives you the framing at least, of this is what, at this distance, this is what a 35 would look like.
Well, and this is how much world we have to be prepared to show, how much, art we have to have in place. If we know we're shooting on, we're doing a documentary right now where the premise of the A camera is to have a super wide angle in every room that we go into. And so knowing that we're shooting on a super 35 sensor with a 16 millimeter lens or whatever it is going to give us this amount of world. We know that we have to be prepared to light this much world in our shot. And so it gives you a really accurate idea of how much you have to be prepared to dress up and to light on the day. And then the other thing, of course, from a DP standpoint is bringing a light meter so that you know exactly how much light is coming into, wherever you're trying to place your subjects. And so having that angle of incidence and knowing what those readings are and knowing how much firepower to bring, because that's part of, the DP's job is to know how strong of a light or lights we're going to need to be able to overcompensate for the sun or to have enough light to light, this entire space, having an understanding of what the firepower you're going to need to bring is going to help you when you're going to rent the gear for that project.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we've had the conversation where you want to shoot this way, like against the sun, and you want to expose out that window. Like, we're not going to be able to ND the whole window, so we're going to need a crap ton of light. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so then that sets expectations for what's needed from a rental budget because you've done the tech scout in advance.
Yep. Yep. That's great, man. I think from a director's standpoint, producer's standpoint, or any standpoint, something to take notes as well. And that should be just like, oh, yeah, duh. But it is true. Like, I've gone to tech scouts. I'm like, oh, I should have brought like a notepad. So, like, it could be your phone. Like, most of the time, I'm just doing it in my phone, right? Swapping between your apps, putting a little note. Like, usually we do like a notes and then we share it. We have a project management software, Basecamp, that we use for projects. So then we're sharing all the photos and all the data and then, you know, telling different departments what they need. But definitely a note-taking device, whatever that is, whether it's a, you know, if you're a pen and paper kind of person, or, you know, you're recording audio notes and that you're going to transcribe later, you know, whatever it is. But
yeah,
don't try to remember everything.
100%. And I think I get caught up in that a lot of times too, where I'm like, oh, I'm working out all of these problems and what to do. And then I get to the end of it and I'm like, well, now I got to take notes on everything that I just like realized. Mm-hmm. And so it's really easy to get caught up in the problem solving and not take notes on all of the problems as you're going through the day. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much most of what I bring to a location scout, though, like light meter, camera, way to measure stuff, and a way to actually view things in the proper sensor / camera lens combination. The next thing I want to jump into is all of the ways that you take notes effectively, right? And so making sure you have that 360 degree video, making sure that you have a screen recording of Sunseeker is huge for me on the DP side, knowing like I'm going to, because when you look at the app, you can only see like part of the day. And so making sure you screen record, move your phone all the way throughout the course of the day, you know, where every angle is going to be at what time of day.
And that's it. And that sounds so simple, but it's one of those aha moments that I feel like, you know, we used to show up and we do the Sunseeker. And then I think one time you like had recorded it. I was like, dude, we got to do this every time. You know what I mean? Because you can look at it and you're like, oh yeah, the sun's on that side. So then you get back and it's been a week or two and we're like, wait, what was the side? Like, we took a screenshot, but where was it going
to
end up?
Or sometimes plans change, you know, during the course of the tech scout to the actual production. And maybe that room isn't available anymore, but you have the recording and, you know, the other room is directly next door. So now you have more information there by making sure you have the video of the entirety of Sunseeker and not just the snapshot of where it's going to be at that time of day.
Yeah. Yep. Huge tip. Probably sounds like, oh yeah, duh, but it's super easy feature on your phone.
Yep.
Record the screen while you do the Sunseeker, and that way you have that to review.
The other thing that I always like to do is take similar shots of the final frames that you're going for. So making sure you have somebody there to stand in. I mean, normally like you and I will just interchangeably like, hey, Shane, stand in, or, you know, G&E, stand in really quick. Let's get like a reference photo. But I always try to get a reference photo of whoever I'm having, whoever's there and available, so that we can go and show that to, you know, all of our other departments and say, this is roughly what we're going for. Mm-hmm. And so I always try to get a photo with the stand-in available as well. Always try to take photos of the wall plugs. So if your key G&E department is not on set with you, it's great to, you know, photograph those, and it at bare minimum number how many you have. If a space is like super rich with wall plugs, it's like, hey bro, we're like super, super good. But you know, if you only have three outlets wherever you're going, knowing like how much, like your key G&E or DP, most of the time your G&E is going to know how much power they can even put on one circuit before it's overloaded. And so I've been in situations where, you know, we only had one or two plugs, but we had a million different things to plug in, between a video village, camera power, you know, 1200 watt lights and all these things that draw all these power, knowing what like breaker, if you can know what breaker size and what, you know, the amps and all that stuff are, then great. But even just having an accurate count on how many plugs are available is going to be really helpful for indoor location shoots.
This is above my pay grade because it's a gaffer thing, but I see them do this a lot too, and they'll probably laugh if they're listening to this, but this is, and I don't know enough about sparks, as they call it in the UK, but you, same thing with a wall thing. It's like, oh, cool. Well, we've got two outlets on this side. We're set. Not necessarily true. Those two outlets might be running to the same 120.
Yep.
What's it called? Switch?
Circuit.
Circuit. Thank you.
Yeah. I rely on my gaffer for some of that power draw.
And so like the more you can, sometimes I'll be like, hey, I checked the room. We had like three or four outlets, but I also checked right outside the room. There's another wall or something that we can run from. So you almost want to be like, don't bet that like, oh, I saw two plugs on two walls. Those could be tied to the same and you're going to blow a breaker, right? Yeah. Breaker. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So I think, that's something I always try to help them think through too, is like, are we going to trip? And usually now with LED, you know, lights and stuff, like it was different when you were bringing in, HMIs and stuff like that. You were like, dude, we probably need to bring a Jenny for this bad boy, and we're putting it outside, or like, we got to run it on the other side of the building, like not near any of these other breakers, because it would be too much. But thankfully, with how the lights are made, you can plug in a lot more. But I think finding those outlying outlets is always a nice gesture if the gaffer is not on site.
Yep.
Right.
Another great thing to make sure you capture is any space outdoor from your location as well. And so making sure you have a photograph from the outside of the location is going to be super critical. There have been times when we did a location scout, and I think that somebody else actually went and scouted and sent me photos because I wasn't available, but they only got photos of the inside. And it turned out that we had to do a day for night. So we had to tent the outside location. And I was like, okay, it's fine. It's on the first floor. But they didn't show that there was this super like intricate wall right outside the window, to where you couldn't just flush put a tent right up to the wall. And it wound up being the most complicated tent scenario that I've ever had to do, with a ridiculous amount of grip gear, because I had to piecemeal like darkening out this like super weird shaped wall right outside. And having a photo of that would have been an indicator for me in advance to bring the right gear for the project, because I was not set up for success because I didn't have a photo of the outside of the window that I needed to tent. Or if you're going to put a light outside of a window and blast it inside the room, having an idea of what power is outside, or, you know, are there bushes outside that you're not going to be able to easily put a light in there? Like,
how is it far? In a walkway? Is it in a street?
100%. Right? Do we need to lock down that outdoor area and like have somebody, a crew member ready to just hang out outside all day to be a safety for it? So, and then I brought this up, but then photograph any props that are in the space. That's another thing that it's always good to know what available, you know, fake plants are in the room to walk in. Is there a lamp in there that I can bring for a practical light in frame? Is there the right chair that I need, or multiple of those? Is there, you know, XYZ that's available that I didn't even know would help the story move forward, but actually, since it's there, let's utilize this. And so knowing the props in the area is huge.
I was going to jump in too on that, and I think you have covered it, but exploring the rest of the building and going, well, you got any more plants? You got any more side tables? You got any more chairs? And taking an inventory of whatever's accessible that they would be able to provide. And this is on that like corporate space, you know, corporate dock, even sometimes commercials.
Yeah.
And so, and narrative as well. If you're not bringing in some of the stuff yourself, you know, if you are using what's available, document it, and then get it to whether it's the director or art department, and being able to see what you can utilize on the day. Super helpful on a producing side. A lot of times I'll be directing and producing, and kind of, you know, the AD wouldn't be there. Maybe it's a smaller crew. And so I'm also looking for logistical things.
Yeah.
Right? And I like photographing those. So I go, oh, this is the loading dock. take a photo of the loading dock. This is the elevator for the loading dock. This is how big the elevator, taking pictures inside of elevators.
Oh, that's huge. Critical. Because when you're loading up carts of gear and then you find out that you get to a really tiny elevator and you can't even get your cart into the elevator without breaking it all the way down and then putting loose gear in there and putting it all back together, it's a nightmare.
So one of my key things now too is when we're doing these, we're going through, we're finding locations, and then I go, okay, let's work backwards. How do I get outside to where I'm going to load in gear? And so can you take me to that route? And a lot of times they'll still, you know, your client liaison or agency will take you away and you're like, no, I see problems like this. Oh, we're going through a live area with a lot of people. Some of your customers, are you okay with that? Like, okay, that's fine. Okay, you're taking us through the back of the house. Look at this turn, this 90-degree turn. My carts can't get through there. The elevator size is huge. The loading dock, is it a ramp? Is it a dock height? Is it a mid height? How far is the elevator from it? How busy is the loading dock? That's a hard one, man. Mm-hmm. You try to ask that and depends on the day a lot of times, right? And so how many who are you fighting with to be able to get in your gear? What time are you loading in? Yeah. Right. So that kind of comes into play. And so that's kind of all the things we're dealing with. Not only where does the sun look best for the rooms, but then of course it's like, well, when is your people available? You know, if it's a corporate thing. But then also base camp. I like taking a photo of that once you kind of lock that in. So you get your location first, you work backwards. Well, where could the gear live? Are you okay? Like, is there enough room? We just keep cases over here. You're okay with that? Or is there like a conference room around the corner or an office that's not being used that you can keep this all clean and tidy out of the way? And then is there an area for crafty or lunch? Like, or do you want us to just eat on set? Like what's the parameters and expectations of the client so that we can prep the crew for those things as well? And then, like I said, walk backwards. How do I get out so that I can make sure that my team can load in efficiently and actually, you know, get it into the elevator and get up to the location? And then big one for producing, distance between locations and distance, even just know thy crew and then know thyself. So like how can you help and push people to get to where you need to get them? But then also like what's realistic for them to get from location A to location B or loading dock to location A? And so you have to have that relationship and talk to your keys and go, okay, I want to be up and running by 9 a.m. What time do y'all need to be there to make that happen? Now that you've seen the room, we've all seen the tiny elevator and loading dock. What's our solution program here to be up and running by 9 a.m.?
Yep.
Right?
It's so good. One other thing too that I like to always jump into, even before I get to location, is questions about talent. So that I know how to light for them, right? Mm. So one of the things that I always ask you to provide is tell me if this person is wearing glasses and tell me if this person has hair, because those are two things that always change.
On their head, I think he means.
Yes,
switches.
On their head. Do they have eyelashes?
Yeah, how many times have we been set up?
Yeah.
It's beautiful when the talent shows up and it's a bald, beautiful head.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just reflecting like the North Star. And we're like, oh, let's, you know, pivot. And you know, and there's things you can do. Or glasses too, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, producers, we do what we can. We talk to talent. And then, of course, sometimes I've had talent show up and be like, well, I brought glasses because I like how I look in these. And we're like, you look so much better without the, you know, because they don't need them, but they thought it was a style thing. And we're like, you look so much better without these glasses.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things that I can always work against it. I just, if I don't know who I'm going to be working with and I've lit for no glasses and hair, and they show up in the opposite, I'm like, well, I have pivots to make now. If it's some big executive who's just walking in and I'm like, this did not set the project up for success because I would have lit it differently if I'd known they had glasses and didn't have hair. Yeah. And so no shade if you're bald, but it does change how I light the setup.
Yeah. Yeah. I would even go to skin tone and complexity too.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, thinking about warm light, soft light, how is this going to, you know, play off somebody's skin tone and complexity and, you know, even hair color, man, that's a huge, that's actually,
totally.
I forgot about that. And see, this is a tricky one. And something that I recently ran into as well, you know, when you don't have an updated photo of somebody you're doing a documentary of, and they get there, and you know, this is part of producing too, and managing client and talent, but it's like, hey, have multi, you know, ask them to come with multiple outfits so we can audition, because we got, sometimes you get into a situation where you're like, you planned out this shot and maybe there's a belly that is kind of just being presented in this shot, or a dress is hanging just in a way that isn't flattering or is too flattering, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, oh, I didn't think about this when I decided to do this angle, right? So you can plan, but then there is still some prep that you have to do on a producing side with the client and talent. And sometimes even when you do that, they show up and you have to make pivots on the day, right? Because you can prepare and tell, and sometimes you know, it just doesn't happen. I don't sound salty, do I? But I say, I'm still shooting my angle. It's doing, I'm not breaking my ultra wide shots.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
One of the things too, that, you know, if they are going to be wearing glasses, you're going to fight reflections. But knowing how to overcome those reflections is huge. And so if I know in advance they're going to be wearing glasses, I always like to make sure that I have a key light that I can fly high enough in whatever setting that I'm in to where the angle of incidence is not showing a reflection of that light. And so, you know, when you
question,
yeah,
this is good for a producer to think about. And I DP'd a long time ago, and I've kind of felt like, oh yeah, finally it's out of the glasses. But how low is too low for ceilings with glasses?
So, and that's the thing, you have to have a light that has enough intensity to do the job, mm-hmm. but is still, you know, high enough to be out of frame. So it depends on, you know, how wide your shot is, but let's just say that you're doing a shot in this room right here where the ceilings are, what would you say, 9 feet tall?
Yeah.
They're probably 9 feet tall. So if we're sitting down at this table right now, our key light needs to be probably at bare minimum 2 to 2.5 feet above us to be really comfortable. And in fact, we have a light that we have two lights in here that are about 2 feet above us. And we've never, to my knowledge, had any issues with like glasses reflecting. Mm-hmm. When you work in some, like, and so that's one of the problems if you want to fly like an 8x light, that's this beautiful soft key light. But if it takes up, you know, all the way from floor to ceiling, you can't do it. But if you have like, you know, some tube lights that have enough intensity in a really dark room, you can fly those all the way to the ceiling and you're never going to have any reflections. Problem is, tube lights don't oftentimes have enough intensity. So you got to fly a bunch of them, or you got to have a smaller fixture that is like a wide soft box, so that you can create a lower profile light, fly it higher to the ceiling, and you'll solve your issue. The other caveat is, depending on, a lot of times you're shooting in a room where maybe you're using sunlight from a window to, you know, help light your talent, and, you know, you're sweetening the pot and then you're letting the sun through a window do a lot of the work. If they're wearing glasses, a lot of times, even if your light is out of frame, other glass reflects in glass often. And so if I know that I'm shooting in a room full of glass, or glass on the opposite side of talent, I'm going to prepare to bring a large negative fill cloth to blacken out a lot of the light that's coming in that's going to reflect in their glasses. And so knowing the angle of incidence of, you know, those reflections and being prepared, because the thing that always bugs me is when people have reflections in glasses and they don't take them out.
Mm-hmm. You see that in a lot of TV shows.
Oh,
still,
my
man.
Like, gosh, you do, bro.
People get fast and sloppy now. And so, you know, at some point you go, well, is that believable? You know, is it real? Like in TV shows, you go, yeah, there are reflections, it's real. But sometimes you can see, it's like, dude, that is literally like, that is not a natural, practical reflection. That's definitely a key or a fill that I'm catching.
And yeah.
It, you know, I can almost tell you what brand of light it is.
And even if it's another window, it's like the answer is to bring a large negative fill cloth and put it over the window. And like, you can fix it, but if you don't do a tech scout, you might not know to bring a large, you know, 20 by negative solid, and then have enough firepower to bring up the ambience in the room that you've lost from losing the sun.
And enough team to like hang it and all, rig it and all that
But this, this goes back to the heartbeat of like, these are the little nuanced details that really help you level up your craft to take out the reflections and to already be like, anytime I do a tech scout, I'm thinking about, do they have glasses? Do they have hair? What's the sunlight doing in the room? What's, you know, it's like all these different things that are affecting talent. And of course I think about the logistics, but I also know that like, typically a first AD and a director are gonna, you know, own that bucket. I'm gonna own the creative. But I also like to be thinking in that way too. But I'm thinking about the problems that arise for a DP that I'm responsible to fix. And reflections and glasses is something that a director is always gonna say, hey, this is, you know, happening. Can we fix it? Well, sure. If we had done the tech scout and known that there we needed to bring this. So it's just one of those things that I hate to see, but a tech scout can oftentimes help fix.
Yeah. I think something, you touched something on it too, is that tech scout, location scouts are an opportunity in a narrative space, maybe to say, hey, we're going to need more budget. Like you said, like I need more rentals. I need more firepower. Sometimes I'm in a locked budget and I go, cool. Like you can take less crew and more firepower, or you can take more crew and less firepower. Like how can you creatively solve the situation? Right.
Yep.
Or like, let me go try to explain to the client, if we really do want to get married to this location, that we're going to need an additional budget, or you know what? You're right. This room isn't going to work. Let's just go ahead and stop. And we've done that. We've been in a room and we're talking through and we go, yeah, there's too much stuff that we need to do. And sometimes it's a timing thing. It's not even a budget thing. It's like, oh, we got to black out all those windows and then, you know, hang the sun on this side of the room. It's like, okay, you know, and we only have an hour and a half to do it, including the interview time, right? So there's kind of those things that it's great to have, because it changes the scope of work for not only potentially your client for the budget, but or the narrative film, but also for the crew on the day, right? So like knowing that, and then going, okay, am I, like I said, from the dock door to the set, like am I giving them enough time? So same thing is like, okay, for the G&E, I'm asking, the DP is gonna ask for all of this stuff. So as a director or producer on set, I'm listening to that, or the gaffer should be listening to that too. And we go, do you have enough people to get this done?
Yeah.
In an hour? Do you need 2 hours? Like, what's realistic, right? Yep. I think that's what makes great teams, is when we relationship like that and talk through stuff. And so, you know, I just had a talk with you and one of our gaffers, and I'm like, look, we all are sharing 10 hours, and I'm trying to give y'all the majority of it. But when I get to my 2 hours for an interview, I want to, they're mine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, give me my 2 hours. And so I'm like, but you tell me, like, how much do you need on the front end? Like how little of time do we need to fill in between? Right. And so, and then it's like a battle of like, okay, well, all right, hour and 45, you know, and cause you need this extra time, or like, how can I help? Can I get more of my time back if I give you another person for G&E? Right.
Yep.
So kind of thinking through that as a team will set you up for success, instead of being on the day and playing the blame game of, well, you didn't give me enough time to do this because you're asking for all, the DP's asking for all this. So communication is so critical, and location scouts is all about communication. You're talking through every single person's department and what they need to execute the vision, and then do we have what it's going to take to execute that vision in said time and in said budget.
Love it. Absolute gem right there of information. I think that goes back to the heart of why you do a tech scout, is to set the project up for success. Maybe not even just from a technical standpoint, but just from a crew standpoint or from a budgeting standpoint. Like, I think that's all super good.
One thing too to watch for that you just said, sorry, I'm jumping, but something you'll see, and maybe we're getting to this, like kind of the questions and things we think through, but I think from a comm standpoint, how spread out is this? Do I want headsets and comms, or like, are we all in the same room, or are we going to leapfrog some teams? Do I have PAs on lockdowns outside of doors or outside of, you know, a street setting, or is it all condensed? It will also tell you on a production side for production, not even just DP and gaffer, but what do I need to communicate with my team in a professional and efficient way instead of, hey, I'm going to call you, or I'm going to holler across this busy hospital, right? And so, like, taking the client experience and your crew experience in mind when you are asking those questions and thinking through what type of gear you should be renting or providing for your crew on the day.
Love it, man. To piggyback on that, I have a list of questions that I have that when I go to a tech location scout is kind of my cheat sheet for everything that I need to consider. Outside, I mean, you know, for the most part, this is what I bring and this is my guide. And I'm going to run through my questions just so if anyone wants to take notes, now's the time to do so. But I always ask, is there a floor diagram available for the measurements in the room? Does all of what is in the room come with the location? Because maybe there is props in the room, but they might not come with the location. They may not want them utilized or showcased or whatever.
Or it's set up one day and then it's like, oh yeah, all those really fancy chairs were actually for a different event. We moved them out.
Or we can't move this table because it's
bolted to the ground.
Right. What is the voltage and power draw of the outlets? Is there, if there are skylights, is there roof access? Sometimes you may want to black out the skylights, and so having roof access is super important. How loud is the location at all times in the day? So knowing, like, we just did a project recently, and there was, during a specific window of time, a ton of traffic, but at another time of day, not so much traffic. And so how loud is the room at all times in the day? Do you have extra paint for the walls in case they get damaged? This is hopefully not needed, but I have had so many, grips that put gaff tape to a wall, paint comes off. And if you have a drop of integrity, you will tell the client and say, this needs to be touched up. Can we roll, or can we put stands on the floor? And if you can't, then you need to bring tennis balls so that you can safely put your C-stands on the
floor. That blew my mind when I saw one of our gaffers doing that. And I was like, this is so brilliant. And thank you for look, because once you get through your list, I got to talk about some of the craziest locations we've done and like the rules around it. But anyways, hot tip. I love the tennis balls thing. If you don't know what we're talking about, basically you cut a hole in the tennis ball, I believe.
You cut a 2-inch slice in it that when you pinch it, you can put your C-stand or combo legs inside of it. And also on the end of your like C-stand boom arm so that like it's safe for people who are walking and are at, you know,
safety first. 100%. Producers love it because it's like, oh, it's a really nice hardwood floor and you're not dragging these, and clients love it. You're not dragging these stands or even just it's sitting on there. You get these scratches. So if you see your gaffer show up with a bag of tennis balls, they're a pro.
Absolutely. This is a big one too that I didn't even mention before, but do we have full control of the lighting in the space? One of the first things that I'm always checking too when I walk in is, are there light switches on the walls? Are they dimmable? And do we have control to utilize them and turn them off? Because even if there are there, it may be an active location that we can't turn them off because we need, you know, the other people in the space may need to keep those on. So always ask about the control of the lighting in the room. If we are utilizing natural light through windows, do we need to bring ND for the windows? We just did a project recently where having a roll of ND that you can put right up on a window will naturally bring down the light levels outside. If you don't have enough firepower, it's a fantastic way to shoot right at a window, expose for the outside, and have less firepower than you would need to overcompensate the sun.
There goes back to the measure app too, to really dial in like how much ND do you need. So on that scout, you're like, okay, there's this many windows. This is the measurements of that window. So you make sure you have enough ND.
Yep. Also asking if food and drinks are allowed in the location. A lot of times, there may not be it may be frowned upon to bring food and drinks in specific locations. And so knowing if you can do that is always a plus. If the location is outdoor, is there power outside or do we need to run stingers? If there are practical lights on location, what kind are they? Can we swap the bulbs? A lot of times you like to use your own aperture or other light source bulbs and replace those. And so if we can utilize the bulbs, that's a super helpful one. Can we use a fogger or hazer? This is a big one because a lot of times if we want to add hazer atmosphere to an environment, you'll have to deactivate the smoke detectors or you may just get vetoed right at the very beginning if you want to use a haze machine. And then knowing if the location is active and what times of day it's active are basically like my quick cheat sheet of questions. I skipped over a couple of ones that we've already talked about, but those that's
are
like
you willing to provide this like as a checklist 100%. PDF? I think that'd be very valuable. We maybe put that up on the website and have people download it from
Love
there.
It.
So we'll send a link where you can go to the website, give us your email, and you can download this
yep.
PDF cheat sheet. I'll throw on a couple of, or maybe we'll make a separate one for directors
yeah.
and or like production coordinators. Very, very great list there. Lots of the same stuff. You know, I talked about base camp, you know, distance between places, arrival instructions. Like
yep.
this is all production coordinations type stuff. Point of contact person for the location. Is there a locations person to be there? You know, even parking is super important.
Everything,
but
man.
Then like distance from loading dock to parking, or can we leave the truck in the loading dock? So there's so many. It's better to ask too many questions than not enough. But the worst thing is to ask the questions and then don't use the data.
Yeah.
And so you do have to find that balance of like how much do you need to know in your department and other departments that you can digest in a correct amount of time to set yourself up for success. Because again, you do need to live life in prep mode, but then you can plan. But then we get there on the day and we go, oh, you know what? We're not going to use this room. It's something happened and we're pivoting, you know, and you have to roll with the punches. You know,
basically,
it happens.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. And it sometimes is out of the director's control or the DP's control or the client's control. And so being ready to pivot even after you've made these beautiful plans, I would say disclaimer, be ready for it to all burn down.
Oh my gosh. Be ready to throw away all of the beautiful plans that you made and just wing it.
But you know what? When you do these reps though, I think it makes you be able to more quickly analyze a room.
For sure.
So the tech scouts get you sharper at when you do have to do these quick pivots. I know we're getting long on time. I want to just say, what's some of the, cause you did mention something about like, you know, can you have food in there in the area? And I think that's a very unique thing pending the location,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to just share a couple of the weirdest like rules. It is not weirdest. I would say, the hardest scenarios that we had to take into account, right? Cause these do become a big factor, even the food thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you're filming in a church in a very, you know, beautiful setting. And it's like, hey, we're not going to eat here. Or actually this happened in a hospital before. We're filming on a children's ward. Right. And it was like they're cancer patients. We don't want to be slamming some Chick-fil-A or
yeah.
pizza in their floor. So this is a producing thing and it's a DP. It goes in everybody's schedule. It's like, hey guys, we're going to need to go down to this other location where we're going to have lunch. And so we have to calculate that time in. So there's unique things. We just did a project where we had the opportunity to go into the OR and we had to scrub in. I mean, we were like literally bunny suits, everything. So then it's like, okay, what does that mean for like operating cameras and stuff, right? Do I need additional, you know, people to be able to operate or you know, do I have to make trips to bring all these little pieces of gear in?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, I remember another weird scenario where we were going to film in a dance. It was at UNT, a college project that we were filming for, or call it a campus promo. And we were going to film in a dance studio, one of the interviews. And I got called up. We were leapfrogging our teams, and they basically called over and said, yeah, we just got told, like, we're going to have to, like, everything that goes on the floor has to have, like, safe, like, the tennis balls, and everybody's going to have to take off their shoes. And then I talked to our gaffer, and I was like, hey, man, how long is this even realistic? And I made the call on the day. This is when we didn't get to Tech Scout. And I was like, let's pivot. I don't want to mess with that. And so, like, you might run into those scenarios where it's like, oh, this is a beautiful space, but the rule exists and there's no budging it, right? A lot of times you can get some leeway. You're making a film here, right? But is there any kind of crazy scenarios that you have experienced that that's really put like a, wow, this is a limitation. How do we work around this?
I mean, the one that we actually shot a week or two ago in the room with like 1,000 lights that I had to manually turn off and on.
Mm.
I mean, I had never been in a room before, but we had, I mean, honestly, probably close to 1,000. I don't know if that's overestimating, but I mean,
you didn't want to turn them all off, thankfully, but you did turn off a lot of them.
And you had to do it one by one. Like, we literally had to bring a ladder to location, and we brought an extra guy to set because we needed to one by one move a ladder and turn off lights to have the perfect amount of lights in
bokeh
the scene,
in the background, because you wanted to leave some on but turn some off,
and to darken the room enough to achieve the look that we were going for. And so I had never been in a room where there was honestly probably close to 1,000 lights. I mean, in my memory, that's what it was. I don't know if it was like 500 or not, but it was,
it felt like 1,000 to
it felt
forever.
Like 1,000. It was
and the team had it ready to go. It looked amazing, but yeah, it's one of those things that we saw on the tech.
We brought an extra guy.
We're gonna bring an extra guy. We needed an 8-foot ladder. They even had their building engineer come down to see if they could. Like, we were working with all the, you know, the breakers. We couldn't get them all killed, or the ones that we needed, and so that was the workaround. We said, "Cool, we'll turn them all off ourselves."
Super.
But we need a little extra time in the morning to do this, and we need an extra person because we're gonna dedicate it. That's the value of Tech Scouts.
100%, bro. 100%. Man, I feel like we covered this. I don't know if you feel like it, but I feel like that is literally a mini masterclass on how to do a proper Tech Scout, man. I feel
exhausted. And that's how I feel after Tech Scout.
100%.
Exhausted. I think it's almost more taxing than production day,
well,
I feel like.
It's mentally problem solving every part of what you're going to come through, you know, come across.
Yeah, and some of it doesn't even matter, but you got to solve it.
Right.
And so, like, they are exhausting.
They are, but they're so important, you know. It's going to, like I said in the beginning, like, films are made in pre, and they're what sets you up for success. And, you know, if you're problem solving an issue live with 15 people waiting on you to solve that, you have to think about what that equates to in dollars for you to take that 30-minute pivot with 15 people's, you know, waiting on you versus solving that, you know, because you did the Tech Scout with one or two people, and now you've saved 15 people times 30 minutes worth of dollars for the client and their experience, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So
I'll dig it, man. I keep going back to my India documentary days, where if you call it a Tech Scout, and you would be like, cool, I'm going to go off into this jungle, and when I get to this hut, I got to take off my shoes out of respect, and then I got to bring in the gear and set up. So the logistics on that stuff is insane, man. But some of the most fun times in our filmmaking career, I think it's the challenges that really make the process so enjoyable for me at the end of the day, if you can solve them successfully.
And I think that for me is like where I get the most satisfaction out of being a DP is in the problem solving. Like, how can I light this to where it looks as best as possible? I like overcoming the challenge. And I think that when I do a Tech Scout on location, I'm able to do my job better, and I feel more fulfilled at the end of the day when I do it with excellence. So I think that's the importance of it, man.
I dig it. Man, let's go do a Tech Scout. Actually, I'm exhausted after talking about
GTFO,
that.
GTFO, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been a great episode, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you learned something on how to Tech Scout properly. If you're still with us, we appreciate you, and we'll see you next time on the Rough Cut Club.